You'd have a good battery. Okay.
Yep, it's good.
Okay.
Just leave it alone. Don't touch
all
it.
All right, don't touch it. All right. At 2 p.m. or 3 p.m. on Thursday, June 5, I bring a special meeting of the Board of Directors of the Colorado City Metropolitan District to order. If you join me in Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And let the minutes show that we have a full quorum, all board members present. Can I get an approval of the agenda?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion we approve the agenda for this afternoon's meeting.
Second.
Moved and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We have an agenda.
I'm sorry.
Who said? And we need to close the meeting for the regular meeting and open a public hearing for DAP, Drinking Water Project for Colorado City Metropolitan District. So it our public hearing is open.
At this time, for the public hearing, I have Nate Jacobs from NOCO Engineering that will go through a presentation for this. Let me get you set up here.
Everyone coming. Thanks for joining us. The purpose of this meeting is to discuss environmental impacts of worst case scenario rate increases for an SRF state revolving fund application. So just that's our project location, just a brief overview slide. Next, we're just going to outline some of the discussion topics for this meeting. As I mentioned, this is revolving mostly around environmental impacts and worst-case scenario rate increases for the DAP project, as mentioned. We're going to go through project description, areas impacted, the project location, environmental impact discussions, environmental agency review and correspondence, water rate impact discussions, and then we'll open it up for questions and answers at the end. First section is describing the project and selected alternatives after going through analysis. So basically, the project needs are potable drinking water pre-treatment. Some of the issues we're currently facing are treating high levels of turbidity with DVP exceedances and TTHMs and HAA5s, high levels of iron and manganese, short run times on the membranes causing backwashing and clean in place to occur frequently, inefficient operations with the coagulants and the cleaning of the membranes, as well as elevated levels of the DVPs. After going through analysis with the state, we looked at various solutions such as dissolved air flotation and plate settlers. After doing a DAF pilot study and working with the state to look at other alternatives, we received a project needs approval letter determining that a DAF system would be suitable for CCMD and provides the largest reduction in turbidity and removal of TOCs in comparison with other methods studied. Again, the alternative technologies were either DAF or plate settlers. DAF was selected for having the highest quality of removal and in comparison, lower capital costs and lower footprint. The area impacted for construction is going to be solely this parcel of land owned by the district, currently houses Beckwith Water Treatment Plant and the new proposed DAF pretreatment plant. On the next slide, you'll see some of the current features. You have your access road, Puerto Verde, St. Vrain Drive, Isabella Drive, the existing Holly Dock Golf Course Pond, existing water treatment plant, and the proposed location of the new facility. Next slide, we'll go into a little more detail on what is going to be affected in this area, such as a new access road, two staging areas for equipment, two sludge ponds, one recycle pond, access paths connecting to Beckwith, and a new fence with two gates for added site security. Would like to mention while we're looking at this, There's an ancillary dam project, a dam embankment modification and siphon outlet works. That is a separate project with a separate engineering construction firm. They are going to be raising Cuerno Verde Boulevard. You're going to be losing this access path, and the access to the plant and the existing plant are going to be through Isabella. So you will see potentially one semi every month to every 6 months for chemical deliveries, potentially some increased traffic. And again, Cuerno Verde and part of St. Vrain is going to get revised and raised with the dam construction project. But for this project, these are the areas impacted for the DAF pretreatment building. Next, we're going to get into environmental impacts. As mentioned, we have potential source of contamination, wetlands, wildlife, endangered species, floodplain, environmental justice, and lastly, construction impacts. First one is going to be potential sources of contamination. So looking at a 1,000-foot diameter around the facility, what is potentially going to be impacted in that area? We have the Holly Dot existing golf course pond, which was not going to be impacted, but it's in the area of influence. Groundwater sources such as wells located outside of that, water lines, sewer lines, which will be managed through construction. So overall, this is our construction area, as mentioned on the previous slide, but wanted to give you an overview of the 1,000-foot radius per reports. Next slide, wetlands, wildlife. We have a riverine ditch here and here, as shown on the diagram, as well as Beckwith Reservoir. Again, the dam project's going to be impacting the reservoir. We're just tying into existing and future pipelines. So there's going to be no impact to the per CWCB, nor U.S. Fish and Wildlife. We can get into some correspondence throughout the PowerPoint, but no adverse impacts proposed. Threatened endangered species and critical biological resources. After going through the IPAC information and planning conservation report, there are no critical habitats in our projected area. Survey of critical biological resources report, same thing. No adverse impacts projected. A copy of these reports will be provided in a binder that Jim has for public review. Next, looking at floodplains, this is a FEMA FERMET floodplain analysis. Again, as mentioned, there's the riverine ditch and the existing reservoir. Our project site is here, not impacting either of them. A little hard to see on here, but we are technically in Zone X, which is outside of the 100-year floodplain area of impact. So again, based on this, there is no adverse effect to floodplains. Environmental justice, the EPA puts together an EJ screen report based on your community. And again, with this, there are 71% white or non-Hispanic and a 28% Hispanic community. There's going to be no difference in impact through, regardless of ethnic background. So this report tells you the ethnic background, but there's going to be no adverse effects either way to each community disproportionately. Construction, as we mentioned before, there's going to be an increase in some impervious surfaces such as the access road and revised access road and revised entrance and egress to the facility through the dam project. Air quality impact, minor impact due to emissions and heavy machinery. Same with noise, traffic related and construction related noise during normal business hours. And lastly, visual landscape impacts. There's going to be a new pretreatment building, as well as two sludge ponds, one recycle pond, as we described previously, and some potential soil compaction and erosion due to construction. Again, a copy will be provided in the offices. Next slide and the future ones, we're going to go through some of the correspondence we were required to do and have received through environmental agencies, including a Class 3 cultural survey, environmental review by USDA, who is one of the co-funding agencies, the SHPO, State Historic Preservation Office, and TIPO, Tribal Historic Preservation Office correspondence, again, with no adverse impact. And additional agencies were contacted, such as U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Parks and Wildlife, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and the National Resource Conservation Services. We also have received a project needs approval letter for this design, as well as an environmental assessment report, which is provided in the binder and was submitted for state review. First up, we performed a Class 3 cultural and architectural survey done by SWCA, where they looked at the site and if there were any tribal or historical sites or artifacts found. The conclusion of the report is that SWCA recommends the project result in no adverse impacts to historic properties. Next, we consulted with USDA. They are one of the co-funding agencies, so they did an environmental assessment report, Form 1970B. We received approval for that, with the conclusion being historic properties, no adverse effects, critical habitat, no effect. We also consulted with the State Historic Preservation Office, requirement for Section 106. Their conclusion was a finding of no adverse effect is appropriate for this project. Finally, we consulted with six of the tribes within the vicinity who have impact to this project. After receiving no or any correspondence with them, there was zero tribes with any objections to this project. Lastly, we consulted with U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Parks and Wildlife, Army Corps, and NRCS. All of them had no objections to this project, with a copy of the correspondence in a binder for public review. That wraps up our environmental impact discussion, and our second part of this project is water rate impact discussions. So what we're going to cover in this section is the project cost, potential funding scenarios, current water rates, worst case water rate increases, assuming 0% grant, 100% loan, and that is a stipulation of this funding application, is to discuss worst case scenario with absolutely no grant assistance. And then, as well as ancillary discussions on our current stance and tier for water taps and comparison with other districts around Colorado.
Can I ask a question? Could you tell me what that acronym PIF is?
Plant Investment Fee.
Okay.
And we can get into that more on the slides that describe it a little further. So first, we're going to look at project costs and funding. Currently, the project is designed as a 1.5 million gallon per day MGD, dissolved air flotation, DAF, drinking water pretreatment facility, with a current project cost of $19,137,749. The potential funding scenarios that we are pursuing are funding through USDA and SRF, State Revolving Fund. Those are currently our co-funding agencies for this project, as well as Colorado Department of Local Affairs, DOLA, which we are in the process of receiving a $1 million EIAF, Energy Impact Mineral Fund grant. Just to mention, additional grants were pursued, but were not awarding, and we have a list of three Environmental Protection Agency grants we pursued that were not eligible for or no funding available. Two with Colorado Water Conservation Board, one with Department of Energy, a WIFIA, and a WIN grant, which are ancillary grants or loans that we looked into but are no longer considering at this time, or we are no longer eligible for at this time for this project. Current water rates, this is just a summary of your current water rates for monthly base charges, usage charges for single family residential, as well as commercial initial base rates and your usage charge. Just a summary of current water rates. The Colorado Department of Local Affairs, per the PNA approval letter, provided a worst case scenario rate increase analysis, similar to what we did with Colorado Rural Water Association, and we'll get into the next slides. I'm going to read this out as part of the funding application requirement. For a DWRF request amount of a total project cost of $18 million, the projected coverage ratio is 63% with tap fee revenue and 38% without tap fee revenue. Additional revenue of approximately $728,730, or roughly $58 per tap per month, is projected to be needed to meet the 110% coverage ratio requirement with tap fee revenue. Excluding tap fee revenue, additional Annual revenue of approximately $1.1 million, or roughly $88 per tap per month, is projected to be needed to meet the 110% coverage ratio requirement. All that to say, a worst-case scenario, funding scenario, is 100% loan, 0% grant. With a total project of $18,137,700, which includes the $1 million DOLA grant, at a loan interest rate of 2.5% over 40 years to meet 110% coverage ratio, we are looking at a worst-case scenario for borrowing 100% of project costs, being in the calendar year 2025-2026, a 65% base rate increase and usage rate increase for residential and commercial customers. After that, per the funding analysis, 20-year cash flow projection, to meet the 110% requirement, in 2027, there'll be a 10% increase, 2032, 10%, and 2037, a 10% increase as well. What does that look like to your actual bill compared to the 2024-2025 current bill? We are looking at a $24 increase, $27 increase, and $37 increase to base rate, which is 65%, with usage charges, again, 65% through each tier. For commercial, same thing, 65% increase for monthly charge as well as usage charges. What that looks like on a tiered structure is worst case scenario, again, 100% loan financing would be a monthly base for residential, 61, 70, 94 for the different meters. Usage tier per thousand being at 1250, 1630, 1964, 2556 per thousand at those different tiers. And that continues on for commercial, monthly and usage. And again, that's based on that 65% we discussed on the previous slide. If we want to look at a comparison, on the furthest right table, that's what we just discussed. 65% increase to usage rate and monthly rate. And that's what's shown on the far right in red as being a worst case scenario, 100% loan, 0% grant scenario. In the middle, we have a 50-50 split. 50% of the project costs are loans, 50% are grants. So your increase would be half of what it would be in a worst case scenario, 33% increase. And over here, just for comparison, is a 0% increase, current water rates unchanged if the project were to get 100% grant financing. But again, for the purpose of this meeting, we need to discuss worst case scenarios to meet the debt coverage ratio of 110% with 100% loan financing, which equates to a 65% increase on monthly base rates and usage rates. Now, to get back to your initial question about PIF, plant investment fees, this is something we put together comparing Colorado City highlighted in red here with about 39 or 40 water service providers across Colorado. What's shown in the blue versus the orange, what's shown in the blue is your tap fee. Currently, Colorado City's charging $15,000 per tap for residential taps. If you compare that with other people, you can see that out of 39 providers, 33 of them also, or excuse me, out of 39, 33% of the other water service providers, or 85% of them, enforce what is called a raw water requirement fee. For us, we have a reservoir to maintain, and we have a dam project, ancillary dam project, to keep that reservoir functioning as a raw water source for the community. Other water providers have to buy shares of water from CVT or other sources, and they transfer that as a plant investment fee or a raw water requirement to their customers to pay for that raw water that we have to use, we treat, and serve the customers. So for comparison, 85% of these entities enforce a raw water requirement. We're one of the few that do not. So something to consider along with additional tap sales is enforcing a raw water requirement. It's not built into any of the projections. It's not a reliable source of income, tap fees. So it's something to consider that would help keep water rates from having to raise again in the future. And then, oh yeah.
Would that include anybody that has an AOS fee requirement?
And what is an AOS fee?
Availability of services fee.
We already charge them like $120 a year just because they have access to our water service.
So would that mean that these people, would they pay AOS fees but aren't users, would they be liable to pay this raw water fees? Okay.
So I guess that question kind of along that line. The raw water fee is a one-time fee. When you pay the tap fee, it goes with the tap fee?
Yeah, it's pretty much securing that the district has enough water to supply you with...
But it's only a one-time fee.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Just like a tap fee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And it would be assessed for future customers to help recoup some of the construction costs related to the dam or the pretreatment to provide that water to them. Ooh. And on the next slide, we are also just looking at no raw water requirement fees or additional fees. Just your current tap fees are at $15,000. You can see you're kind of in the middle of the group. So again, I'm only providing this to let you know that it's a potential to increase your supply fund for future projects, for future line breaks, for maintenance. So tap sales and tap fees are not a consistent source of revenue, but something that the district could consider applying in the future. Lastly, as briefly discussed, we had a project needs assessment approval letter from the state approving this project and allowing us to move forward with SRF funding application, this public meeting being one of the requirements. We also submitted an environmental assessment report to USDA and SRF, the co-funding agencies. That, along with all the other correspondence discussed, is available for review here at the district's offices. Please see James Ecker for point of contact during normal business hours. So that concludes our environmental assessment review and worst-case water rate analysis. I'd like to open up the floor for online and in-person questions.
Anybody on the floor have questions? Go ahead, Kevin.
Have all possible sources of grant money been pursued?
I couldn't hear you. Speak.
Have all possible grant sources of money been pursued?
So with this meeting, we are going to be applying for SRF State Revolving Fund loan and grant funding. The grant source in the SRF is known as principal forgiveness, so it's loan forgiveness in the form of a grant, you could assume. We're looking at BIL and BASE funding at a total of $3 million in grant funding through SRF should we be approved. We applied for USDA funding in the form of a grant, which we have not received confirmation on the amount, but that has been pursued. And then DOLA, we've received confirmation of a $1 million grant with potential for another million if we can phase the project out into two phases. In addition, like I mentioned, we went through CWCB, Colorado Water Conservation Board, Environmental Protection Agency, as well as other grants that we could find online, and we've applied for those or were rejected or they're no longer eligible. To answer your question, we've exhausted all sources that we are aware of, and we are waiting to hear back on if we were successful.
There was the USDA, DOLA, what were the other ones? CWCB, EPA?
WIND grant. Yeah, there were three EPA grants and loans, two CWCB grants and loans, and WIFIA, WIND, in addition to DOLA, USDA, and SRF.
I guess, what was the process like for applying to those? And like, did you have to reports and stuff like that?
Yeah, most of them require an initiation report or an eligibility study with project details, project costs compiled and submitted. Had virtual or phone meetings with different agencies, but with the current status of federal and state funding, potential projects were cut, and therefore we were not successful. Or, for instance, these Colorado Water Conservation Board grants, after going through an eligibility discussion with the board, they are only for raw water projects, not drinking water projects. So, as I mentioned, there's an ancillary dam embankment and siphon project. These would be applicable to that, but not this drinking water project. For the Environmental Protection Inflation Reduction Act, all three of these, we applied for but received notice that we were not successful or didn't have allocated funds. And these two down at the bottom WIFIA is a loan program that had a high cost to apply with not much savings in the loan percentage, so was deemed not applicable. U.S. Department of Energy, I followed up with them. The grant is no longer available on the website, so we believe that it has been cut, but we have not officially received word on that. And that's really all of them. Yep.
Nate, do you have any guess, best guess, I'm not going to hold you to it, what percentage of this project we will receive grants for? Typically,
Jim,
for
yeah.
something like this?
Jim and I were hoping in the 60% or better range. Again, should this SRF public meeting and application go through and be approved, we're eligible for $3 million in BIL, BASE funding. So that's that SRF one. DOLA, we've already received a $1 million grant, eligible for one additional $1 million grant. And U.S. Department of Agriculture, that's the big question mark at this time. I believe they're on a continuing resolution, but they're not sure what the state allocation will be for this year and the following year. So $3 million grant, $1 million plus a potential for another $1 million, and this one is the unknown. But we're hoping to be around the $5 million grant mark or better.
We're looking at, hopefully USDA will be 30% or 70% of the additional between what we have for WRSF and what we have now.
Okay.
So that would bring it back to where we were talking when we had our rate increase the last time.
Are there other DAF projects that have been done in recent history in the state that weren't done by you that we could learn from, maybe about how they got funding?
Yeah, so as far as funding goes, I'm not sure. I know there have been DAF projects done. We visited Boulder recently to see their system and how they set it up. But as far as funding for those projects, I'm not sure if they receive federal or state funds. A lot of the districts that I put together on that map don't require federal or state funding. For instance, Carter Lake Filter Plant up in Berthoud is going to be putting in a dissolved air flotation pretreatment plant, but they do not require federal or state funding for that job. But they are going to be building that.
A lot of it is their household income is mm-hmm. way above that they wouldn't even.
They don't need it.
They don't even qualify for it.
I just wonder if there are other projects that we could ask them, like you mentioned Boulder, that's probably not going to have an issue with money they get, but if there's others that have found source of funds that may not have been come up on your list, we could learn from them.
The funding side of things has been pretty tough. We've worked with the state,
sure.
USDA, SRF, the co-funding agencies to see what kind of opportunities are out there. And we compiled a list of every opportunity, looked at every opportunity that we're aware of, and really exhausted all our sources at this time.
Have our senators and representatives been involved in this? Have they been contacted?
Not to my knowledge. Jim Daniel?
Shouldn't they be? I know Boebert was touting that she got funding for different water projects.
We did put in for congressional funding, but after reviewing congressional funding, it was like a $2 million, wasn't it, Daniel?
I know that there are special earmark projects that Congress people can a lot of funding for. It sounded like we reached out, or I don't know exactly what happened, but that is a long list, and it's unlikely. It was my sense that Colorado
and
get that funding.
And a lot of times what happens is if you go through get federal funding, you can't get any other federal funding. So that's why we're looking at USDA as our biggest funder, because they have the bigger pot, being EPA, and all of them are into USDA. So if you take the congressional funding, you can't get USDA funding. That was the biggest turn back on the whole situation.
No hands online.
I don't have anybody. Nobody's raised their hand.
Can I start with technical questions?
Of course.
Go ahead.
All right. Can we go back to the presentation, please? Slide number... It was a site plan. So.
The site plan?
Yeah.
Like two or three, I think.
Yeah, two or three. A little more, the one that shows the lines. I believe
there you go,
the
six.
Yeah.
Six?
Yep.
You got it?
No, sorry, the one above it. It shows the raw water feed for that runs on...
Oh, this one shows some of the existing lines. Sorry.
Oh, okay. The 100,000.
Yeah, there it goes. Okay. Are we going to tap into the line that's right there off of the access?
Yeah, so currently, just to give you a background, this is a 14-inch PVC waterline siphon that comes over here to an outlet structure.
Mm-hmm.
That's our current raw water feed for treatment at Beckwith Water Treatment Plant. We are going to tap into that as one source of raw water for pretreatment and allow continued treatment down here if needed. The ancillary dam project that's going to redo this road, revise the embankment, one of their requirements is for an upgraded siphon outlet. So not only does this 14-inch provide water for treatment, but it also, in case of a flood of the dam, can reduce the level of the dam to prevent flooding and send that raw water to an outlet source out here. So part of the dam is reinforcing this embankment, as well as putting a 24-inch siphon that's going to add additional discharge capacity for the dam to reduce flooding chances. The 14 and the new 24 will go to both treatment plants and will be used for a raw water source.
My question was pertaining to, you addressed it, it was pertaining to the site, the Big Sandy Levee project, because that pipe will have to be moved, so I didn't want you guys hooking onto something that was going to be destroyed, in essence, soon
enough. We did have preliminary meetings with the dam contractor. They understand, and we need them to understand, that they cannot interrupt raw water service to this plant during dam construction because we need a source to treat. And so this will be used until the 24 inches up and running, and then the 14 will be relocated.
Okay. Sorry, you said dam contractor.
Well, no, that's the engineer.
Oh, okay.
Dam engineer.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Really quick. Could we see... two above, the one that shows the proposed axis, and this is me being a sticker. That axis is not going to go with the county. It's too close to the intersection. You need a 500 feet buffer between a proposed permanent axis and an intersection. So it's going to have to come off that. Yeah.
Up here a little bit? Okay.
Most likely. So just
like
I mean, we're so far away from the design structure, but the second that we touch it, even if it's a grandfathered in axis, when we pull the permit, they're going to deny us that one.
And two comments to that. The dam contractor, dam engineers has provided plans. The dam contractor will have this revising Cuerno Verde, St. Vrain Boulevard, and the access road in their scope of services. So we will make sure they comply with county standards.
Yeah, no, it's got to be 500 feet. I'm fighting that on another project.
Okay.
So making sure. I saw that. I'm like, there's no way that's 500. So I'd rather raise, because they do consider St. Vrain, I believe it's... local collector, and because of that, it will enter it into the 500 feet buffer zone. And last one, thank you guys on the DAF. I think people don't consider DAFs often enough when allocating for a clarification process, and it is something that the community has spoken to when moments of high turbidity and where Gary and Greg struggle enough to keep the waters going. So something like this will definitely help. And it's not only the lowest cap, it's also the lowest operating cost. That's no chemical, it's all air. And as long as the pump is running, the water should be clearer than it is. So thank you for that.
And not to mention with the pretreatment, you know, some of the issues we provided before, consistent backwash, DBPs, high turbidity, high TOC. Through our pilot test, we saw up to 96% removal in TOCs and turbidity through the DAF, which will lead to less loading on those membranes through Beckwith, giving them longer run times. Gary and Greg don't have to backwash and clean in place every 30 minutes, every hour. They can get a day or a week's worth of runtime out of the membranes. Again, reducing operational costs.
So the golf pond, that's going to move?
No, we can go back to the slide. I was talking to Gary about this today, actually. So the existing Holly Dot golf course pond here, there's a fence around it. All we're doing is tying into the fence. This will still be used for filter backwash and supplied per the beneficial use plan to the golf course and baseball fields. We're not really touching this at all, maybe revising some piping, but the pond structure is not going to change, And in addition, we're going to have sludge ponds that decant to this recycle pond, which could be used in an event for the golf course or in our scenario, if there's a drought scenario or reservoir, there's some issues with the quality, this can be used to recycle water back to the pretreatment and continued use.
Why can't we combine those two plants or those two ponds? The golf pond and that one.
And the recycle pond?
Well, either one of them.
Well, currently the way the beneficial use plan states is that all backwash water that goes to the golf course pond is used for irrigation of the golf course or baseball fields and is not considered a source of water for treatment. So once water goes in here, it's no longer a reservoir or a source for water to be reused.
And the other ones are?
Yes, these are because it's the only effluent is from the DAF. And for
they can go back into the plant. Okay. Thank you. Other questions? So, of course, I think probably the big question for us and the public is cost. You know, and we would like to, it sounds ominous that the cost could be as high as what you're predicting. So I think that the Clint's question is that how much do we expect to get in grants? Is there any possible way that we can get 50% grant?
Yeah. I believe that we're at that point.
Is that realistic?
It's more than realistic, I believe. As long as we can get this through WSRF and get the loan forgiveness, yes, and plus what USDA, even if USDA comes in at, because the difference will be, what did I figure, you're looking at 15, so if you got half of 15 is another 7, so you're at 10, so you're at about half.
So is there a chance then that we'll be able to get enough grants to fund this project without raising rates?
We might have to have some rate increase, but it ain't going to be that 65%. You might have it 20.
Can we? So basically, no, my question remains, is there any chance we can do it without raising rates?
If USDA provided grant funding to cover 100% of the project.
Or 75% of the,
remaining
money.
Yeah.
It seems like that's pretty unlikely given the time frame of when the project needs to happen and the USDA has been a little bit slow. I mean, we've had meetings with them monthly for 5, 6, 7 months now, and it doesn't seem like they're going to approve a grant project or a grant package that's the whole cost of the project anytime soon. They're having internal issues, and they're like, well, there's this next budget process, and we'll see, but I don't know that we're going to get 100. I think it's very unlikely that 100% of the project would get funded or an amount that would allow 0% rate increase through USDA.
We're hoping anywhere from 50 to 70 at the most of grant license.
So kind of the guess is 50 minimum?
50
and minimum. 70 we could get to?
Yeah. And the thing is USDA, since we are working with WSRF funding, they like partnerships, so that gives us kind of another step in with them that they want to partner in with somebody else that they don't take the whole brunt.
Anybody?
Maybe not the place, but I'd like to bring up the idea of that they post for the raw water requirements. We should talk about it for new taps. Eventually assessing that fee to have it so
right.
That next time that we have a big project that's necessary, we don't have to consider rate increase. As people build new houses, we have a rainy day fund that we can tap into for the emergency requirements, because that one doesn't affect our current users. It's as you build, now there's a price to come live in heaven.
Mm-hmm. And to Ray's point, what the plan investment fees are, you know, supposed to be used for is for, you know, growth pays for itself. So if you have 1,000 people come in, that puts a burden on the system and requires you to upgrade line, sewer, and everything, including the dam for raw water. That's what you impose on the new tap sales customers to keep the system running.
Do you have any idea what the average rate is for the raw water fee that these districts are charging?
We can go back to the PowerPoint. I don't have that number, but if we just look briefly at the orange bars down near the bottom. This guy. So if we see Louisville, they charge
$72,000,
which is similar to a share of CBT water, which the water districts require for service. So if we go from 72 down to probably around.
Well, Denver charges $16,000, which is right above us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So between $16,000 and $72,000 for the raw water requirement.
The minimum amount on this looks like $7,320.
Yeah, I saw that, but I thought, wow, that seems god awful high.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, in comparison, out of 39 districts, 85% of them do enforce a raw water requirement.
Yeah, and the main reason I like it is because you're pinning growth to the fee that supports the growth. Mm-hmm. So it's not fair to you overburden the current residents with the developer that's coming and building 10 houses. You want to play developer, build 10 houses, well, contribute what the district needs to upgrade the system to support 10 new houses, and so on and so forth. So as they come, we have the rainy day fund, so we don't have to wake up Gary at 9 a.m., at 10 p.m., or 9 a.m., he's already been up for 4 hours, so that, hey, the water's coming out murky. We have already a DAFN system that we were able to support with those fees. And then Christy hates us less whenever we ask her where to scrunch money from to pay for these things. But yeah, I think it's something that we should, as a board, consider soon to start pinning that on growth, so that as we grow, we can support the growth.
And one of the things here is we started out with the 3 million gallon plant, and that was one of the big things with WSRF. Yeah. We cannot plan for growth. We cannot apply for grant.
It's for what's there right now.
It's for what's right now. So they're saying we need the 1.5.
Yeah.
We are going to build the building and the structure
so we can add on to it.
Because the difference between the 3 and the
1.5 is about $100,000 difference.
How much?
$100,000.
Between the sizes? Now, that's for the building cost or for the plant cost?
For the DAF treatment cost. The pumps, the pipes will all be sized for the 3 MGD system for future.
So what would it cost to go ahead and make it the 3 million?
Another $100,000.
Yeah.
Is there any reason we can't do that?
We're limited for SRF funding to be non-growth related projects.
Well, but so we would commit to funding that ourselves.
Yes.
And could we do that at the same time as doing the one that they approve?
Yes.
One of the, I think you could technically do it, but the SRF has been very specific that their requirement to fund this project at a lower interest rate than private funding would be is you can't fund growth. So they had us redesign the system from 3 MGD to 1.5 MGD.
SRF funds will only be used for a 1.5 MGD plant.
So, but what you're saying is that we couldn't commit to do that ourselves.
USDA, we're applying for a 3.3 million gallon plant.
So the easiest way to say it is we're sizing the house to have 2 AC units, but right now they're only paying for 1 AC unit. Eventually, once they're out of the picture, because you don't want to submit everything once, because you'll always have one fund reviewer that'll see all the sizes, all the pipe, all the equipment for 3 million gallons, and then come and say, wait a minute, I told you no growth. So it's such a low, because it's just a mechanical thing. The vast majority of the costs are the civil work and so on and so forth, the connection. Once there, it's as easy as putting the equipment itself in series and just repiping everything. So yeah, about 100,000. Let's say if we were to do it brownfield once the project is completed, 150, 160. So it's better not to risk right now the 18 million when we can, yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me, but I guess that's okay. What happens, the plant that we have now, the building was overbuilt to put in 3 more skids. And it didn't happen.
But like we said, with the pretreatment up front, the existing water treatment plant back with membranes will run a lot more efficiently, and with reduced cleaning, you could put those three additional skids in if needed.
The biggest issue here probably is that we need to do whatever we can to get the funding.
Exactly.
Yes.
Not put any funding at risk.
That's more or less the reason for this meeting, is to have the board to approve us moving forward to apply for WSIF funds after hearing all of the presentation.
This was a requirement to apply for the funding. It's a public meeting to discuss environmental impacts and worst case scenario. So we had to have this funding meeting to be eligible to apply.
Board, any more questions? Public, any more questions? Kevin, go ahead.
So we've heard percentages, lots of percentages, and that's a fuzzy number. So if a water bill today is $100, let's make the math easy, $100 today, if this project is 50% funded, what does a water bill turn into? And if it's 70% funded, what does a water bill turn into?
Good question.
You have a water bill now at $100. You're looking at a 70% grant funding, you're looking at probably about $115. With a 50%, you're looking at about $125. And then at a full, the 60, paying the full, just numbers off my head, you're looking at probably about $150 if we had to pay for it fully.
I think the worst case is
65%.
Yeah.
So 165 would be worst case scenario, no grants, 100% loan would be 65% increase.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Do we have data that would show that we can print out?
You have it on the screen that you just
yes. Asked. You could just add an example to it.
I think
this one right here.
Okay. That's right.
That has all the three breakdowns.
But this shows 50%.
In the it shows 50% in the middle, 65%, which is
right.
So 100% loan is a 65% increase per the 110% debt service coverage.
So we have a sheet that shows that, but it doesn't show the 70.
It shows the worst case scenario, which is required to be talked about today. 100%.
So it'll be halfway between about
0% grant. And then just for comparison, I put in a slide that would be a 50-50 split grant and loan, which instead of a 65% increase would be half of that 33% increase.
Okay.
For comparison.
And we have a sheet and you can interpolate kind of between the
okay,
half fund and non.
These percentages are an aggregate between the base rate and the average consumption rate.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
And so our loan would be created through municipal bonds. Is that how
on this side, if we go through the government side, I think it's revenue bonds.
Yeah, you're pledging your water and sewer revenues to pay it back.
Okay.
At 110% debt service coverage.
All right.
And the terms we're looking at, 2.5% interest rate over 40 years.
Okay.
Which we are tied into that because this has been going on for 2 years where that has increased over the last couple of months. But we're still tied into that 2.5% since our applications.
The 2.5% is compared to like up by 5% is what a private loan or private bond issuance would, that's what the interest rate approximately would be right now. Maybe a little bit lower, but.
Well, I think he said it was like 6.5.
Really?
Stifle women because of all the uncertainty of the market back at that time, which was 2 months ago when we signed the agreement to have him look at it. So and it could have dropped by now too, but
the interest rate difference is significant enough that it's
we looked at the total cost of what's going to be paid over the life of the loan term, and it's, you know, $5-10 million different if you have a much lower percentage versus a private percentage. So that's why the SRF program, even if it is, even if you are paying it back and it's not grant for loan forgiveness, the overall funding package is better through the public borrowing process.
Because we looked at the public side of it, to borrow publicly at the 6 or 5, whatever it's going to be, we can build a plant for a lot cheaper because of the regulations with USDA and WRSF and stuff. It'd be a lot cheaper. It'd only be $15 million, but it doesn't counteract the interest rate and what we can get in grants. So that's why we're trying grants as much as we can.
So is the engineering complete?
No. We're working with the state. They're reviewing the basic design report, 60% design. Once we get approval for that, and unless there's modifications, we can work to get 100% design. Our CAD team, architectural, structural, mechanical, electrical, process, all has the plans. They're working to complete it. Waiting for state approval to see if there's any modifications needed, but we're working on it.
And when do you expect that?
We expect to be done with everything and out to bid September, October, because we need to break ground or begin construction at the very least by December 31st of this year.
And that was negotiated.
That was part of the enforcement order based on the drinking water exceedances, DBPs, and HA5s.
Yeah.
Will you guys act as owners, reps, / engineers of record during construction? Is that part of the contract? Yeah, okay. I don't know if it was part of the original contract. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Any more? So what do we need to do, Jim? Do we need to...
If there isn't any more questions, ask for the public hearing. You'll go back into the regular meeting and go to the agenda item.
Do we need to... This actually has to be an agenda. Do we have to have a motion on this?
Yes, we do.
To approve it?
Yes.
If we approve it, then we're approving going after funding.
Yes.
And if we go after the funding, how soon can we start get through the state?
For funding allocation or for approval of design?
For approval.
Of design?
Yeah.
I mean, we need approval before we can go out to bid. So we're going to need that by September. He's already, the state engineer who's in charge of reviewing and approving the design has had it for already a couple months. The review process is usually in a 3 to 4 month period. So by end of July, we're hoping to have approved design. And around the same time, we're hoping to get a decision from SRF on their grant loan package, as well as USDA.
They're to get into this draw, which is the first draw of the year, is the deadline is today. That's why we ended up having this meeting. So we'll get all the information in, send it in. I believe their board meets next week, where they review all of their applications, and I believe they meet in a week or 2 weeks of June, and at that point, then they'll come out with decisions as to what they want to fund and move forward with.
Kind of this public hearing, I guess this meeting, is that we're behind the eight ball. We don't have any choice.
And we did this in January with USDA. We had a meeting, that's why Nate was down here, but they didn't want to accept it because it was such a long time lapse between. So that's why, you need to have another hearing, and that's when we did it.
And part of SRF, this funding source, they do a lot of work on the front end to review the application, and they sort of give you like a pre-approval to apply. Even though this is the application, it's not really like the start of the application. It's like you can now apply that we've pre-approved you. So they did a
project needs
PMA
approval letter.
Approval
yeah.
letter, project needs assessment approval letter that we got in May or April, and then we had to give 30 days notice of this meeting. So they gave us the letter like the next week. We
publish notice for this meeting, but it had to be 30 days. So that's why it's last minute. It's, and they've been reviewing it for years, this project. And then they said, you know, we want it to be smaller. So we changed the design from the last application in January. They reviewed it again. They gave us their P&A approval. We immediately published notice for the meeting. So that's why it happened this way.
It's been going on.
Yeah.
Anything else? All right. I close the public hearing and reopen the regular meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we approve to apply for the WSRF or Water Supply Reserve Fund grant.
Second.
Moved and second. We've already had discussion. Anybody else have any more? Let's vote. Karim?
Yes.
Clint?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Ray?
Yep.
And Chair votes yes. I need a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Second.
Moved and second. We're adjourned.
Wait, we can spend another hour. Don't we want to spend another hour?
Well, I got right in time to make it to EPAC, otherwise Carmen's going to hit me with a shoe again. Okay.
But you like that.
I got fun.
Huh? But you like that.
Yeah.
Love to be hit by a shoe.
I like belts. But